Sufferings ourselves, hopefully not as tragic or certainly not as concentrated as poor Job had, but nevertheless significant for us at the time. And I'm sure there are times we feel like shouting out to God or even at God, but thankfully we do have God to turn to shout to, and he's there to guide us. And the next hymn kind of makes us think of what it was like, if we can remember, before we had God in our lives, before we were part of his family. It's Father God, I Wonder. By Ian White, who is a world-known worship leader and modern-day songwriter, hymnwriter, who comes from just the other side of Perth. And if you've been in the Creef Food Company yesterday, as in previous Saturdays, you'd have seen him singing and playing down there. It was him, Caroline. You were right. It was him. Check his Facebook page. So. The song is Though I Feel Afraid. Thank you.
Well, let's pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that indeed you have called each one of us. You've called us to know you, to know your love, to respond to you. And you've made that possible through the gift of your Son, Jesus, coming to earth, living as one of us, dying in our place for our sins and rising again, giving us that promise of new life, life with you in all its fullness. And living God, you have spoken to your people all through the centuries. You've identified yourself with humankind in Jesus, your Son. And now you dwell among us by the person of your Holy Spirit, making your presence come alive. So we've been worshipping in song, and we ask that you would accept the worship that we offer and that you would make us usable in your kingdom. Loving God, you've come among us and you call us to come to you, promising that in Christ we shall find rest for our souls, that through Christ our spiritual hunger shall be satisfied, that from Christ we shall receive life in all its fullness. So gracious God, we come in response to your call to worship, to offer our thanks, to lift before you our confession, to lift before you our lives. Accept the worship we offer. Make us usable in your kingdom. And sovereign God, we come this morning seeking your guidance, seeking your strength, seeking your will for our lives. Help us to come to you not just as a note to a gesture, not a matter of routine or something of duty. But help us to come to you in heart and in mind and in spirit. Help us to make space in our busy and hectic lives to be still in your presence, so that we may live in you and you in us. So accept this time of worship as we gather together. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught his friends to pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I've brought along something from the house this morning to share with you and to get some of your advice on, really. This is my old first aid kit. Now, what would normally be in a first aid kit? Caleb, your hands up first. Yeah. Bandages. What else might I find in a first aid kit? Plasters. Right. Ruth? Scissors. Okay.
Antiseptic.
Very good. Paracetamol. It might be paracetamol. You know, it's meant to be. Not in a first aid kit, no? No. Right. Okay. Let me just check if I got these things. I've had this first aid kit for a long time, so it's maybe not got all of these things in it. Elizabeth might have a better clue what's in it than I have. Not very much. No, let's have a look. Right, okay, let's see what we've got. Well, we've got scissors. A pair of scissors, that's always good to know there's a pair of scissors in there. Oh, there's two pairs of scissors in here. Wow. We've got bandage. There's an old bandage to hold to. I don't think much of the stuff in here is sterile anymore. This is a... We sometimes practice bandaging, right? So there's an old bandage here. It would hold something together if the worst came to the worst, right? Okay. What else have we got in here? We've got some safety pins. Always useful to know there's safety pins in here in case we need them, right? Okay. What else do we have? We've got some plasters. Yeah, Micropore plasters.
They're grands.
They're grands, right? Oh, look. There's another pair of scissors. We've got lots of... Find all the missing scissors. Nice bit of totally sterile cotton wool. Right. And, of course, there's a selection of bandages that we have actually had to use on occasion. Oh, there's another pair of scissors. Now I know where all the scissors have gone. Yeah, there's lots of bandages, and what we got here? Oh, triangular bandage. What would you use a triangular bandage for? Yeah. You could use it for your knee, yeah. Or a sling to hold your arm up, yeah. A burn, yeah. 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 It says sterile on it. It also says 1988. But it's not open, so it's probably okay. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, most of these have probably got that kind of date on them. Yeah. Oh, no, this one's better. This one's 1989. Yeah. I did say I'd had it for a long time. But actually, most of the stuff in here, in an emergency, would probably still be okay because it is wrapped and still in its original packaging. And we've got a leaflet that tells us about Health and Safety Regulations 1981. And advice on treatment. So it's got some advice on treatment, recovery position. Yep. Well, we needed to use that a few weeks ago at the men's. Unconsciousness, yep, we needed to do that. Broken bones, well, it is broken, but not this time. It was an old break. Burns and scalds, yep. Yeah, we've had all of that, yeah. So actually, as a first aid kit, despite the fact it's old, it's probably got some fairly useful stuff in it if we needed to use it in an emergency. And just to reassure you, we do have other first aid kits that are a bit more up to date than this one. Well, what else have we got? We've also got, look at this, how posh are we? Latex gloves. Yes. That saves you getting blood in your hands, Elizabeth. That saves you getting blood all over your hands. Right. First aid kit. Great if we're a bit damaged and broken on the outside. It's always good to have first aid stuff accessible. And yes, that is a very old first aid kit. This first aid kit came from the Queen's Tennis Club in London. It's quite old. It's a posh first aid kit, I told you. So it's quite an old one, but we do use first aid kits to patch ourselves up, and when we cut and bleeds, we want to cover and keep clean wounds. So there's some stuff in there that would still be useful for that. The picture up here, I don't know if you can see that picture particularly well. There we are, it's a bit better. I've been looking at this picture all week. I knew what I wanted to talk about today, and I've been looking at this picture, and just have a look at it. On the picture there, we've got, what do you see first of all? Ruth? Colours. Hands, colours, what else? Water, yeah. Stars, yeah. A reflection. Well, it could be. I've been looking at this picture and pondering it. It's a picture of two hands. One reaching down from the top of the picture, surrounded by all the different colours of the rainbow, stars. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, maybe that hand is an image of blessing and goodness and wholeness and recovery. Somebody reaching out of the heavens, because it's going down the way. Then I looked at the picture a bit more, and there's the other hand that's stretching up. I looked at that hand and thought, who is the owner of that hand? If the hand on the top is someone from the heavens reaching down, who is the owner of the hand that's stretching up, reaching out of the water, out of the darkness, out of the turmoil? It looks a bit choppy there as well. You see the ripples on the surface of whatever they're caught in. And I wonder who these two hands belonged to. Is it God in heaven reaching down? Is it us in earth reaching up? And then I thought about it some more, and I thought, you know, what exactly has been going on here? Has the God in heaven let the person go, and they've fallen? And they're sinking down into the waters, into the darkness, into the deep. Sinking down and down and down, and life perhaps for that person is becoming darker and darker and darker. Or is the picture a picture of someone who is already in darkness, reaching out, trying to get help, crying out for help,
And God hearing that cry in heaven and reaching down to lift the person out of the darkness and into the light. And at times, people can feel both of these things. Either that they have been somehow let go and they're sinking and life's becoming very dark all around them, or they're beginning to surface, rise to the surface and reach out for the help that is coming to them. It's quite an intriguing picture. I think I'll have it on my desktop for a wee while and ponder it a bit more. And this experience of the two hands is really the experience of David the psalmist. In Psalm 40, David writes, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God, and many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods and to lies." So the picture here, in a way, is spoken about in Psalm 40. It's often read, sometimes sung as well. We'll sing a song just now that the title is "Darkness Like a Shroud," and in a way it captures something of the sentiment in that picture as well.
Shroud covers the earth, evil like a cloud covers the people, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear on you. Nations will come to your light. Turn in night. And the darkness shall not overcome till the fullness of Christ's kingdom comes, dawning to God's eternal day. Arise, shine, light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen on you.
I should have said that the first aid kit that came from the Queen's Club, I didn't nick it. It was given to me. At the end of the tournament, they have a whole lot of stuff that they get rid of, and that was given to me one year when I was working down in London. Well, this morning we're coming to Job chapter 3, and we're posed the question, where is God when it hurts? And I'm sure we've all been a bit surprised this past week by the actor Liam Neeson's confession that of what he did and what he thought about doing at a time in his life some years ago when he was hurting because someone he loved had been hurt. And sometimes when we're hurting inside, we can deal with it and we can get over it relatively quickly, but there are other times when the hurt we feel inside becomes overwhelming and it's really hard to live with, let alone find healing and find a way to feel more yourself and get moving forward with life again. And if you're a Christian believer, that can be especially hard because as a Christian, you believe in a loving God. You know the truth of that. You know that God said, let there be light, and there was light, and yet you feel that darkness all around you. God, who you know is a God of love, and yet at times you struggle even to love yourself. And you know in your heart that you're not meant to feel like that, but you do. And that just makes the whole thing all the worse. And the reality of life is that we're in a spiritual battle. And even the great servants of God sometimes are attacked by Satan and are shaken by it. And Job is a prime example of this. After all the assaults that have come upon him, Job is in a very low, very dark place indeed. And his suffering is so great that after his friends sat with him for 7 days, he's reached the end of his tether, and we're told that he opened his mouth and he cursed the day of his birth. This is what we hear. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth, and he said, may the day of my birth perish and the night that said a boy is conceived. That day, may it turn to darkness. May God not care about it. May no light shine on it. May gloom and utter darkness claim it once more. May a cloud settle over it. May blackness overwhelm it. That night, may thick darkness seize it. May it not be included among the days of the year, nor it be entered in any of the months. May that night be barren. May no shout of joy be heard in it. May those who curse days curse that day. Those who are ready to rouse Leviathan. May its morning stars become dark. May it wait for daylight in vain and not see the first rays of dawn. For it did not shut the doors of the womb for me to hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb? Why were there knees to receive me and breasts that I might be nursed? For now I would be lying down in peace. I would be asleep and at rest with the kings and the rulers of the earth who built for themselves palaces now lying in ruins, with princes who had gold and who filled their houses with silver. Or why was I not hidden away in the ground like a stillborn child, like an infant who never saw the light of day? There the wicked cease from turmoil and the weary are at rest. Captives also enjoy their ease. They no longer hear the slave driver shout. The small and the great are there, and the slaves are freed from their owners. Why is light given to those in misery and life to the bitter soul?
to those who long for death but does not come, who search for it more than for hidden treasure, who are filled with gladness and rejoice when they reach the grave. Why is life given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? For sighing has become my daily food. My groans pour out like water. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. It's almost hard to thank God for that bit of his word, isn't it? Because it's pretty bleak. And for Job, the normal flow of his life has gone. It's as if he's all out at sea, drowning in the water. It's not a calm, peaceful sea either, where he experiences the ebb and flow of the tide. Rather, Job is plunged into an altogether much more sinister place, where there are dark cosmic cross currents flowing. And he finds his suffering unbearable. That's why that chapter 3 of Job is so bleak and so dark. His suffering's unbearable. It's like darkness has shut out all the hope in his life. His faith is at its lowest point. It's still there, but we have to search to find any trace of it. And Job's filled with horror. He's crushed by the great weight of sorrow, and he despairs of life itself. There is a kind of Christianity which advocates that our lives should be the very opposite of that. That our lives should always be filled with laughter and happiness. That our worship should always be filled with praise and light-heartedness. That kind of Christianity is the kind of Christianity that would have Jesus shaking a tambourine and dancing outside Lazarus' grave instead of crying. It's not that joy and exuberance and happiness are wrong. They're not wrong at all. Far from it. They're a necessary part of our worship, a necessary part of our living. But they don't cover the whole of life. And especially they don't answer the question raised by Job chapter 3. Where is God when it hurts? Those proponents of what's known as the prosperity gospel arose in the late 19th century and again in the middle of the 20th century and right through to this day. It's probably worse today than ever. They would have you believe that financial blessing and physical well-being are always the will of God. If you donate to good causes, and I'm a pretty good cause, they say, then God will bless you materially. If you have faith in God, he will deliver security and prosperity. And in some circles, that kind of thinking's really made an impact. Just 2 years ago, January 2 years ago, at the inauguration of the 45th President of the United States, Donald Trump invited two of these prosperity gospel preachers to be among those who were praying and leading the invocation. I just don't know what kind of Bible they're reading. For yes, while God promises blessing to a faithful people, that doesn't mean that people of faith are immune from suffering and pain. You only have to look at the lives of folks like David and Elijah and Job and the Apostle Paul to see that each one of them struggled in their own ways. They each faced what we might today call depression. And we see David's path, ups and downs in his life, good and really difficult times throughout the Psalms. Elijah in 1 Kings 19 is very, very low. We encounter it at a point where he's full of fear. He's running for his life. He's hiding himself away. So broken is he. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 describes his ongoing battle with the thorn in his flesh, which many commentators think was some kind of mental illness or depressive illness. There's a commonality to all these experiences we read in Scripture and some of the lives we encounter. Though in each case it's also person-specific. Even the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, prostrating himself in prayer, asked for the removal of the cup of suffering.
and he was candidly expressing his abject sorrow to his Heavenly Father. But even when the sorrow was not cured, and even when the cup was not taken away, Jesus relied on the God who raises the dead. Great church reformer Martin Luther experienced very deep spiritual depression and anxiety throughout his life. And it's said that he was subject to such fits of darkness that he would secret himself away for days, and his family would remove all dangerous implements from the house for fear that he would harm himself. In the midst of one of these times, his wife, Katharina von Bora, entered his room dressed in mourning clothes. Startled, Luther asked who had died. And she replied that no one had died, but from the way he was acting, she thought God had died. And yet, though Martin Luther was prone to these massive bouts of depression, it was through these fits of darkness, as he described them, that he came to understand that suffering was, in a sense, God's medicine of choice to cure us of our deepest sickness, the sickness of self-sufficiency. That doesn't mean that all depression is due to our personal sin, but it does mean that God can use depression as a curative agent in the relational process of making us more and more like his Son. It's an extraordinary fact that many folks like myself, who are called to be preachers of the glorious gospel, find ourselves at one time or another experiencing very deep, deep depression. And for some, living with what Winston Churchill called his black dog is an exhausting, ongoing battle. The most recent figures that were produced by the National Health Service throughout the UK showed that around 1 in 6 people experienced a common mental disorder this past week. And 3.3% of those who are aged over 16 live with depression. And so the examples of David and Elijah and Job and Jeremiah even, Paul, others in the Bible, even the Lord Jesus, these examples are all the more important in helping us to ask and to try to answer the question, where is God when it hurts? Because there are times it does hurt, and it hurts badly. And yet God is still God. Whether times are good or bad, happy or sad. And where we put our hope in the good times and in the helpless times will determine whether we will have the will to live and whether we regain strength for the race. I'm not going to go on too much longer. We'll speak more about where that help comes from next time. But we leave Job today and he's in distress. But from our other reading of Scripture, we know that God will always do what is right. God has full understanding of the situation. God's motives are pure. We do not know the future. We cannot see our situation in the light of the whole picture. And our moment of helplessness may turn out to be the foundation of our triumph. But when we're going through that dark moment, it doesn't seem like it. But it's as we go through the depths that God makes a doorway for us to pass through in order that we might come to him and meet God in a deeper and fuller way. And next week, if we're spared to be here, we'll explore some of the reasons, some of the solutions that Job finds, and which we can find even in this really difficult, really dark chapter 3, the book of Job. Meantime, you might like to, if you've not already done so, read the book of Job. Read 2 Corinthians 12. Look at the life of David, Jeremiah. Look at the lives in the Bible. Think about people who had difficult times and how God was faithful to them through all their difficulty. And how God brought light, not always, but usually, brought light into their darkness. We'll sing again just now, and then we'll make an offering.
Tell us, faithful God, to you we pray.
Faithful God, to you we pray. Humbly turn and seek your way. Where our world is hard and dry, send your Holy Spirit, Lord, bring light. Loving Savior, we confess.
Gracious God, we can't thank you enough for all your great goodness that you show to us. And yet the truth is that we rarely thank you at all. We take your gifts for granted. Your blessings go by scarcely even noticed. And so we thank you for the opportunity to put that right just now. This chance not only to say thank you, but to show our gratitude in action through the offering of our money and the giving of our lives in Christ's service. You've provided for us so richly, and gratefully we respond in the name of your Son, Jesus. Sovereign God, as we've been coming into your presence this morning, as we've been thinking of your greatness and your holiness and your beauty and your love, we also have been thinking about darkness and when we feel that your absence, we feel your absence from our lives. But we're conscious that we come into the presence of one who is vastly greater than ourselves, for you are the creator of life. You are the sustainer of the universe, of everything that is and has been and shall be. And for all that we've received, we want to thank you. We thank you that in good times and in bad times, you are a God of justice and truth, of righteousness and purity. And yet we remember you're a God of love, a God who cares for each one of us, who brings joy out of sadness, hope out of despair, light out of darkness, wholeness out of imperfection. And day by day, you are with us, at work in the lives of all. And so we thank you for the many blessings you pour into our lives, for the innumerable gifts that enrich them, the love we share, the beauty we marvel at, the health we enjoy, the interests we can pursue. There's so much to excite and to enthrall and to fascinate and to savor, so much to give thanks for. And we thank you that in Christ Jesus we are set free, truly to appreciate your world, that the bondage of sin, that the stranglehold of self, the grip of death, these things have been broken. And so we thank you that you want us to enjoy life and life at its fullest, and not just for now, but for all eternity. And we know that we are a broken people, but one day we shall be made whole. And we live surrounded by darkness, but one day we will live in the light. And at times it feels that you're far away, and we're far away from you, but one day we shall see you face to face. For great is your name, and worthy are you of all honour and glory. So to you be the praise and the thanksgiving, the power and dominion now and forever. Amen. Closing song.
Reign of heaven is King of Kings, Majesty, God of heaven, living in me.
Lives you offer to man, the Spirit. see what it caused. All within me offers to serve Your Majesty. I cannot bow. I lay my all before You now. In royal robes I go deserve. I live to serve.
Remember all that God has done, rejoice in all that God is doing, receive all that God shall yet do. Put your hand in His, the God of past, present and future, and walk with Him wherever He may lead you, knowing that He will walk with you all your days. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.